Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: Works, Labors, and Services. Chapter 9. Labor for the food which endures to everlasting life. Once the broader aspects of the distinction between the first works and those that result from them become known, and that labors and services are likewise an expression of works, we still can see that some aspects of the very execution of the works should also be considered for their characterization. From the moment we move to a more conscious position that the term works also encompasses labor and service, we can better understand that the classification of works, before God, still depends on the attitude of those who perform them and on the various activities involved in the labors and services to carry them out. Therefore, when we begin to verify that the very execution of a work also affects its characterization, we can see that a work is also categorized by the following aspects. 1. For the purpose for which a person labors to carry out a work. 2. Whom a person serves through the labors one does. 3. How or by what means a person performs labors in favor of a work. So, to look more closely at each of the 3 points mentioned in the previous paragraph, we would like to address them in separate chapters, starting to address first, in the present chapter, the aspect of the goal or purpose for which a person labors to cooperate for a work to be accomplished, letting the other 2 points for the following chapters. When we see that the classification of a work also depends on the purpose for which a person labors to accomplish it or to cooperate with it, we can also note, once again, that a mere external list of works is insufficient to determine their categorization. For example, if we think only of the specific aspect of the action of proclaiming the gospel of God, we could even, at first, consider that every work of evangelization is a good work. However, if we begin to see that there are individuals and groups who want to use the proclamation of the gospel to create disciples of themselves and not of Christ, and who want to do it to dominate and maliciously exploit their fellow men, we see that the mere external act of the proclamation of the gospel is not enough to categorize this type of work as good. There are people who even make use of the scriptures to attract followers to themselves instead of teaching people to directly follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who gave himself without guilt as the sacrifice for the salvation of all. Thus, there are many works with the appearance of being Christian, but which, behind the appearance, hide people's greed and desire to seize what belongs exclusively to the Lord. A subject that is more widely exposed in the themes on the gospel of the glory of God and the glory of Christ, another gospel, or a different gospel, the fellowship of Christians in the world, the Christian, and the authority, and the Christian and the riches. The good works indeed done in God never act to usurp from people the free, personal, and direct relationship that the Lord offers to all human beings through His gospel. Nevertheless, the work of preaching the gospel is just one of the examples that the objective for which someone labors for a work is also preponderant for its qualification, in addition to the fact that this same type of criterion is similarly applicable to all daily activities with which a person becomes involved. If we return once more to the text in which the Lord Jesus Christ explains that the work of faith in Him is the central work that God expects every human being to practice, it is possible to observe, in the referred text, that Christ is also essentially dealing with the objective because of which people were seeking and following Him, which also categorized the kind of work they were striving to do. Let us look again at the text referenced in the previous paragraph. John 6:26-35. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." Then they said to Him, "What shall we do, that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. When the Lord Jesus Christ teaches, instructs, or urges people not to labor for the food which perishes, he is also dealing specifically with the objective for which people labor, warning them that remaining in this type of goal will not make them reach the aspects of greater relevance to life or that are related to eternal life. At yet another time, the Lord Jesus Christ made reference to the same aspect mentioned above when he spoke about the essential condition of people to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, according to the following text. Matthew 6:19-33. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In the world, there are many people who seek God's help, but they seek it, first or only, for the Lord to grant them the food that perishes and not the food that endures for everlasting life. Therefore, this action is a work of seeking the Lord that is not classified by Christ as a work for the food that does not perish, but only focused on a temporal aspect and of very limited benefit. Christ declares that the good work, the profitable labor, or the good service is the one that puts in the first place the search for the food that he gives to the people and that does not perish. It is the work of searching first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, having as a consequence the material provision, but not having the material provision as the primary and motivational factor to labor or practice works. Thus, also through the example of the goal for which people labor, Christ once again teaches us that the work of faith in him and the work of fellowship with him should be put first so that, from them, people do the works that result from faith in him and fellowship with him. Through the words of the last texts mentioned above, Christ teaches that the mere execution of works, with the primary objective of obtaining material resources, is not enough for a person to have one's works qualified for eternal benefits, remembering that Christ, in granting this teaching, was speaking to an audience that was literally running after him or looking for him wherever he went. The audience to which Christ was addressing the teaching that the inappropriate aim of seeking him also disqualifies the work one aspires to do was not an audience oblivious to his presence and which did not seek him. But still, he disqualified their pursuit of him because of the purpose for which people were doing it. Considering that labor, in a certain way, is the practical act of undertaking an effort aimed at carrying out each stage and detail of the production of a work, the Lord urges people in the world not to put the primary or first efforts of their lives in that which is merely transient. Additionally, this consideration of the Lord Jesus Christ is of enormous scope because as labor is something continuous and practiced every day or even every moment, the Lord Jesus Christ is also teaching us that, in everything, we should act with a heart aligned with faith in the Lord and with what He instructs us to do. When people do the work of first seeking fellowship with Christ and the righteousness of God given to us through Christ, and then are willing to work in what Christ instructs them and how Christ teaches them, they begin to edify good and lasting works, and not just merely earthly and ephemeral works, as Paul also showed us by other words and examples in the text that follows below. 1 Corinthians 3:7-15. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Either directly or through Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ instructs us that building or laboring with objectives aligned with God's instruction is what prevails for eternity, just as He also teaches us that the labors directed at merely human things, natural food, and that which is only for a temporal occupation will not have its value acknowledged when tested by the Lord's fire. In still another part of the Scriptures, we see the aspects of the last paragraphs also reaffirmed as follows. Hebrews 12:28-29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. As we mentioned earlier, through the gospel, God offers us a new life in Christ, as well as, together with His grace, He offers us the power to live and walk according to this newness of life, expecting that we, too, will start to act or work according to what is available to us in the heavenly kingdom. On the other hand, when people are inclined to work with the primary objective of obtaining the food that perishes, they continue to be inclined to the mentality that God is not responsible for His creation. In this way, they think or behave as if the creation, once conceived, should provide for everything it needs, thus moving away, through the objectives by which they work, from believing and trusting in God as the work or as the labor to be carried out jointly with all other labors or works. Therefore, it is very different for a person to work for food that perishes because one has no confidence that God will provide what materially is necessary than for one to work in what God instructs to work knowing that, In doing the will of God according to his purpose, the Lord will also provide for one's needs or show the way of the provision for those needs. The Lord Jesus warned us to observe that a person's life does not consist only of goods and natural supplies that one can reach, just as the kingdom of God offered to us essentially does not consist of material things. Luke 12:15. And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We believe it is opportune to point out here that when the Lord Jesus Christ taught people not to work for food that perishes, he did not teach people to stop working. Instead, Christ was teaching them to work in such a way that what they were going to do would not fade away along with the temporality of earthly life. If a person works to supply one's natural needs, God even may allow this individual to achieve this kind of provision in abundance. However, mere external supply is not spiritual food and cannot sustain a person's spirit. Yet in other words, what a person feeds one's spirit with also influences one's works, for this is the food a person should also work for in the first place to have one's other actions approved before God. John 6:57. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Considering that God is love and Christ is the expression of God's love for us, it is useless for a person to do many works if one is not fed on Christ to do them with love. Faith in the Lord and fellowship with Christ are the way to feed on love also for the practice of works in love or through the love of God. And also because of this, the Lord calls us to come to him to obtain the food that only comes from him and that endures forever. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Galatians 5, 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. When the Lord Jesus Christ taught people not to work for the food that perishes, he did not teach people to abandon any form of work or labor, but to work according to that which can supply them both spiritually and materially, in such a way that the actions, labors, or works in general that they do, while they are still in the world, also receive the heavenly approval. Faith in God, for example, is a work that sustains a person immeasurably beyond what material conditions can do. And a Christian should work continuously so that one's faith is always steady in God, for the Lord is one's light, protection, rock, and guide for all the steps to be taken in one's life, including for the material provision. If a person never feeds on the necessary or appropriate food for one's spirit, one will also be weakened in one's inner man. And how may a person debilitated in one's spirit be able to work adequately according to the Lord's will? Let us note here again that in this chapter, we are not referring specifically to the work of salvation, but to the works in which a person is called to walk after one has already received Christ as Lord in one's heart. As we can also see in Genesis 2, labor or work has been part of God's plan for human life since its creation, and Christ did not come to remove what God established for good from the beginning. At the beginning of human beings' lives on earth already, even before sin entered the world, God taught them to work through the practice of tilling the land for a purpose for which he had called them. Work itself is noble and planned by the Lord of the heavens and the earth, for without work or labor, the works or doings do not become materialized or accomplished either. The Heavenly Father himself is a working God, as is the Lord Jesus Christ, as described below. John 5, 17. But Jesus answered them, My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. God is continually working on behalf of humanity, and even more especially on behalf of those who trust in Him. Isaiah 64, 4. For since the beginning of the world men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God besides you, who acts, or works, for the one who waits for Him. On the other hand, it was because of sin that the human being placed oneself in a situation where even part of his work acquired a corrupted condition as to its form and purpose. It was because of sin that a significant amount of the work of the human being started to have a connotation of oppression to be carried out primarily in the pursuit of material sustenance or provision. Nevertheless, when Christ came in the flesh to the world to reveal the salvation of people from subjection to sin and bondage to the body of sin, He began to call people back to the condition of looking at God's purpose in the first place also in the aspect of their labors and works, adding yet, as at the beginning, the promise of material provision on the part of God for those who proceed according to His instruction. Christ's work on the cross of Calvary was carried out to redeem people from their state of eternal condemnation, but also so that, in Christ, many other aspects of the Christian's life may be restored. Colossians 1, 18-23. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy, and blameless, and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness first or foremost is not only seeking the kingdom of God and no longer working in the material realm, but it is establishing an order of steps to live and walk in everything according to the very salvation offered by God. Psalms 50, 23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright I will show the salvation of God. When the Lord Jesus says that people should not work for food that perishes, but for that which endures for everlasting life, He is not saying that they could start to live on wind, that they would not need material sustenance, that they no longer would need to work, and that God would supply everything for them without any action from them, for in another text Paul writes the following warning. 2 Thessalonians 3, 10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. If we consider once again the text initially used in this chapter, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is not presenting the option between working or not working. On the contrary, He is referring to what kind of work should always and first be done, or with what aim in the heart should the work be done so that other works or deeds may also be profitable. The Lord Jesus instructs us to seek God and His kingdom before everything else because God knows everything, everyone, and all times, and because He is perfectly able and righteous to properly instruct what each of His children is called to practice during the most diverse moments of their lives. The human being's relationship with work is something that begins first in one's heart. And because of this, this relationship is often surrounded by a lot of tension and anxiety. However, it is only in confidence in God that quietness or peace is found to the point where a person can perform one's works in such a way that they cooperate both with eternal works and to obtain the favor of provision for temporal needs. Luke 12, 29-31. And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Often when people count the gains and losses they may experience in working according to God's instruction, they estimate how much it will cost them in material respects. However, in many of their evaluations, they may forget to check what they are losing by not working according to the Lord's instruction. When people seek first Christ, His kingdom, and His righteousness, they are instructed by the Lord from a proper perspective on both eternal and earthly life. And this allows them to know and experience the will of God, which cannot be reached by hearts turned only to the things of the present age. Romans 12, 1-2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Seeking to expose what we are presenting in this chapter still in other words, it seems to us that what the Lord is aiming to teach us is that, first, we should not seek God just so that He gives us material bread to feed us, but we should seek Him first and always to know His will as to what we should practice, for just as the Lord takes care of the sparrow, He knows that we also need the material provision while we work according to His will. Second, we should not seek to do the work only with the perspective of material supply, but we should seek to do the work that God wants each one to do or with the purpose that God wants it to be done, for when a Christian does the work that God wants or according to God's goal, this person's heart is strengthened with eternal values to act according to the kingdom of God and not only according to earthly and passing things. Third, we should, yes, be willing to work and be intense in what God wants us to work, starting with the work of trusting Him and seeking fellowship with Him, His kingdom, and His righteousness. Fourth, the Lord Himself is committed to providing the means for material supply for those who are willing to do the work according to what the Heavenly Father aims for them to do. For the merely natural human mind, it can be complicated to understand that it is possible to act in the spiritual and material aspects according to God's will and yet simultaneously find the way of material provision. However, this is not challenging for the Lord, who created the natural world from His word or the spiritual realm. For a person who is in the will of God, the Lord can simultaneously provide bread to eat and seeds of His righteousness to be sown by those who work in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 9, 8-11. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, He has dispersed abroad, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower, and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. The Lord Jesus Christ, at no time, said that people would not need material supplies to live in the present world, but He always said that they would need even more to be fed with the will of God, for in this will, there is provision for both the spiritual and the material. Matthew 4, 4. But He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. A focus only on the material is also associated with a provision only for the material and ephemeral. In turn, the focus on work according to the instruction and purpose presented by the Lord Jesus Christ is associated with the material, the spiritual, and the eternal. Also in the text quoted at the beginning of this chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ still exemplified the importance of seeking God in the first place, saying that if the eyes of the body only focus on material needs, and only have natural light, the person will no longer have a focus on what is eternal, letting the rest of the body being equally exposed to the darkness to which the eyes are also exposed. Seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness is to act so that the eyes are not focused only on earthly things and become attentive to what is from above. It is to seek Christ Jesus, who is the only light that can properly illumine in all things the eyes of the understanding of those in the world. Colossians 3:1-3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. There are goals for which people are willing to work in the world that are born from the hearts of people due to the focus on their temporal needs, and there are goals and works to be done by people in the world that have their origin from the heart of God and that bring benefits that endure for eternity. Therefore, a person willing to work only to obtain material sustenance and natural things is very different from a person willing to do it for the purpose of being truly helpful in the work itself in the eyes of God and, as a consequence, to obtain the material sustenance. Thus, a person's relationship with work, and the motivation or purpose for which one does it, can express much of what is in that person's heart. As we have already mentioned, if a person is willing to work with eyes basically on one's livelihood, one expresses the thought that one oneself is responsible for one's own provision. On the other hand, if a person is willing to work with joy in the work that the Lord directs him or her to do, one expresses that one believes that God takes care of the provision as he promises to do and that one can act concerning work to, through it, somehow be a blessing, salt of the earth, and light of the world. When a person works focused on the objective of one's material sustenance, what one may achieve is material sustenance with the wear and tear of work focused on this purpose. When, however, a person works focused on the objective and on the possibility of being helpful through the work to which the Lord guided one to be, one is also blessed by God regarding the material items, but in addition, also receiving the food that does not perish, that can only be granted by God, and that is not materially measurable. When a person works essentially for the wages that support him or her, one receives the payment according to the debt one generates to those for whom one has worked. However, when a person sees in one's work a way of being helpful according to the opportunity that God grants, the Lord blesses him or her with material provision, but one also becomes a target of the Lord's abundant grace. Romans 4:3-4. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as debt. In the supply given by God is included, 1, the joy or satisfaction to work, 2, the strengthening of faith and hope even when labor needs to be watered with tears, 3, love for God and fellow men, 4, the peace of the Lord for the day and for the night, 5, support for maintaining a living and ongoing relationship with God. Anyway, for those who seek the food that lasts for eternal life, there are so many more benefits that only the Lord Jesus and the Heavenly Father can provide. Psalms 128:1-4. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? A person willing to do the work granted by God sees in any assignment from the Lord an opportunity to be helpful to those who will use the fruits of one's labor. However, a person who works primarily for one's livelihood is a person who revolves around oneself and does not see that work is a means of cooperating with God for the sake of the kingdom of God and other people, as well as for oneself. So, what is the use of a person, by one's effort and work, gaining a lot of resources and losing the essence of living and walking according to the Lord's will for one's life? What is the eternal benefit of parents accumulating wealth for their children but due to the multitude of works with which they involve themselves, they end up not giving their children due time and attention to teach them to walk in the way of the Lord, which is the living relationship with Christ since He is the way, the salvation, the truth, and the life. 1 John 2:17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Since a work is the sum of many works or labors, if each activity or stage is carried out according to God's will, the finished work will also be a work approved by God. Therefore, by teaching how each person should work in one's daily life, the Lord Jesus Christ also teaches how a person can do a work whose results remain eternally. In several situations, it may occur that the Christian does not even realize the more comprehensive work that the Lord is doing. However, if one is attentive to listening to God and allows oneself to be guided by Him in the works or labors presented by God in one's daily life, surely, in the end, one will see that all stages were cooperating for a broader good work. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. The Lord knows what is for our good in the whole, and the Lord knows what is best for us in every detail. For this reason, He offers to guide us in our works through the direction in each work, labor, or activity that He presents us to practice in the different stages of our lives. Christ died also for that we might return to the practice of worthy works, to which we are led by the Lord through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. When Christians are willing to have a heart aligned with the proper objective taught to them by the Lord Christ Jesus, they can be called by the Lord to work in the most varied ways and that work for the good, confident that the Lord will not forget the love with the which these Christians do each of the activities of these works. Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Ephesians 5:8-11. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints, and do minister. Whether it be fellowship with the Lord, meditating on His word, or domestic chores, as well as the most varied tasks in external work, doing them with love for the Lord and with the proper purpose are aspects of the foundation for all these works to be able to be recognized as appropriate also before the Lord. Romans 14:7-8. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's.